hearties, yo ho. We kidnap and ravage and don't give a hoot. Bring up me hearties, yo ho. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Once upon a time, in a land far away, three men discovered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team with the ability to siege the bay.
You'll never make it out of the bay.
Give no quarter, and feed the fish with any enemy that takes the field during their quest to find the Lombardi Trophy.
Fox win! Fox win!
Join Craig.
And he walks up to me and he says, I'm John Lynch.
He is a monster.
That's what he was, a hard-hitting white boy that played safety, and he was something special.
Eddie.
He built the pyramid right in front of us and said, this is how we're going to do it.
We got to practice doing things right all the time. Little things, huh? Details.
And Zach.
Every day you build, you got to build the foundation, man. That's what we're doing here.
As they take you on a journey discussing front office moves, game breakdowns, and interviews. So batten down the hatches and get ready to set sail. It's time for Buck.podcast. Arr.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Fire the cannons. Bucks lead.
What's up, everybody? This is your boy, High C. This is Buck That Podcast. I'm joined with the homies today. We are live from the cabin, Poor Decision Studios. Shout out to Bamboozers. Shout out to Neil's, my boy Andrew's Glass Services. Shout out to Road Dog Joe Coffee.
Speed King Signs.
Shout out to Speed King Signs.
Speed Kings.
And shout out to my bro Chachos. Well, both of y'all are kind of directly across from me, but to my right, got my boy Zach in the building.
I'm doing wonderful today. Thank you for asking, even though you just didn't ask how I was doing. I'm doing great. By the way, it's been, 2 weeks since we've seen each other? It feels like forever.
Maybe three.
In eternity.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. You see Stains coming back to town?
No.
They are coming back to town.
Right, if you're filming them, I'm your light.
I'm not filming them. I don't know if I'd
If you are filming them.
I want to go see them.
If it happens, to film them, I'll be your like backpack holder for the night.
I bet you my buddy Phil, who does a lot of like
you hold the film.
Top quality photography, like arena shows and stuff.
Does he need a backpack holder for the night?
He would definitely do that one for sure. Does he need you to be his backpack holder? No. Oh. That's not how it works, unfortunately.
I figured I'd try.
I think Eddie's got some breaking news though.
Breaking news just came in right now on the wire. Pewter Report.
Hot off the press.
Pewter Report literally 4 minutes ago. The Bucks have traded cornerback Carlton Davis III to the Detroit Lions.
What did we get in return?
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's not showing it right now. It's what he was reporting.
We need to know what the compensation was.
Stay tuned. Maybe by the end of the show, you guys will know.
Guess I'm sure it's going to be some draft compensation.
Well, I'm going to look right now because.
All right. Well, before you look, go ahead and say what you think the draft compensation is. I say it's going to be a fifth rounder, a fifth and a seventh.
I'm going to say a third.
I say third.
Wow.
Let's see.
That's crazy, though.
What do you guys think about that, though? Carlton Davis, man, he gets hurt a lot.
I think it's in a move to get a little cap relief, a fifth and a seventh.
What did you say?
I agreed with a third.
So, Lions receive cornerback Carlton Davis per Adam Schefter. Buccaneers get a 2024
sixth round pick. Okay.
And a 2025
seventh round.
Sixth round pick. So we got two six-round picks. Okay.
That's not bad. They were going to cut his ass anyways.
That has freed up a lot of money for us financially.
It did free up some money.
We will have to look into that while we're on air and maybe try to get
the
numbers.
I want
to
say it's like somewhere is like $8 to $10 million without looking at the actual deals of his contract. But
that is crazy.
That'll definitely free up some money. We talked about it, you know, going into last week's show.
Wasn't
like
he injured a lot, though?
Carlton
he
Davis,
was.
Always.
Every
what are
year.
Talking about? Like, every year, yeah. And another thing is he couldn't catch a cold. Like, he cannot intercept the ball. He had two last year, but other than that, like.
Well, that's why he's a defensive back.
I know, but I feel like.
If he could catch, he'd probably be a receiver.
Exactly. I know that's the old adage, but I just feel like Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean, they have a problem with intercepting the ball.
Yeah, we.
So I'm glad we got Carlton out of there because, you know, he was going to become a free agent.
When was the last time we had a guy that was really like an interception threat? Akeem Tlaib?
Probably in hell. Yeah.
Akeem Tlaib?
Rondae Barber.
Akeem Tlaib was raw.
But I'm just saying.
McCollum could be that guy, though.
He could be.
Akeem Tlaib's been retired for a few years, hasn't he?
He was with the Broncos for
definitely.
A while.
And the Patriots, too.
He is right. He did go to the Patriots.
Like, But Aqib Talib, he hasn't played for us since like 08, 09 probably.
So Carlton Davis was expected to have a cap hit of $14 million.
So that just freed us up $14
million. Levante David, you just got $14
million. I don't think Levante's going to cost that much.
Seven no, million? I don't think so. But I think they're going to have to give him a two-year deal. He wants to play. I mean, he said it.
He wants to play. Give him a two-year deal like you did, Mike. Reevaluate the situation.
He says he's got plenty of football left in his body. And I think he's been honest with the Bucks, kind of like Rondae Barber late in his career signing those one-year deals. That's probably what that's going to end up happening. But I think they should give him a two-year deal.
He says he's basically, and when I say this, obviously I'm not comparing them, even though they do get compared a lot. He's our new school Derrick Brooks. He really is. And I don't mean that player-wise, but it's just like he's a Buccaneer. He wants to retire Buck. He's been here. He loves it here in Tampa. He already has come out openly and said it. Same thing, I think, is going to end up with Mike Evans. I think they're in a two-year deal. 2 years from now, we might get a little bit more love. You know, I don't know. He probably won't be in the 20 mil range by that time.
Just think about that. To have the consistency on both sides of the ball for a decade between Levante David and Mike Evans.
What does it say about an organization when you have guys like that? That one for sure, Mike Evans is going to be a Hall of Famer.
Levante should.
Levante is putting up the numbers where he should probably finish up there as well.
Career, as we all know, he has not gotten the acclaim always being behind Derrick Brooks and following his footsteps. But if you look at the type of player,
similar numbers, we've compared
the numbers. Pretty close. And there are some statistics where Levante is actually a lot better than Derrick is.
Yeah,
tackles for losses,
and I think maybe like sacks. I believe he's got more sacks or interceptions, one of the two. But regardless of the fact, Levante is going to go down there as one of the best Bucks to ever play in a Buck uniform. Period. And I honestly think he needs to be re-signed, and I think he will be. He's not going to. He already said he didn't want to play for any other team.
Yeah.
And Jason Light, Mike Greenberg, freeing up money right now, doing what they do.
Well, they're good. They're good at what they do.
They know how to balance a checkbook, I tell you that much. And,
well, listen.
Yeah, hopefully we get Levante signed.
And that's without us. So what I just read earlier before we came into the show, we had about slightly under 15 mil, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just freed up another 14. So basically we're working with close to 30 million right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even re-signed or extended, my bad. Vita Vea.
Not yet.
Or not Vita Vea, but Tristan Wirfs. We extend Tristan Wirfs. They've already talked about how that can free up a good amount of money for us. We can do the same thing with Vita Vea. That is another option. And
Antoine Winfield is also can be signed.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Once we don't want Antoine Winfield to play under the franchise tag.
No, and that's what they said.
They're working on him, but they just did that so nobody could touch him.
That's right.
He's ours. We're keeping him. We got to get, you know what I'm saying? We got to
back up, NFL.
We got to balance this. We got to, you know what I'm saying, move some money from the savings to the checking, from the checking to the, you know what I'm saying, from the offshore account over here. We got to, you know, we got to make some moves.
And with the franchise tag, you cannot move that money. Once you play on that's going to be that cap hit.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can sign him to an extension and you can kind of move that
money
around
just the just the cap hit right now.
Yeah.
Once they sign to the contract, they can negotiate, they can do this, they can do that. And he can get a fat contract and only count like $2 million against our cap hit this year. You know, this is crazy how the
it is crazy the how verbiage, they are able to move money around.
Just
it.
Crazy.
It's a game that it's hard to understand as well and comprehend. You know, without seeing the actual
legal details. It is to us because we're not there. But if we sat down with a GM and picked their brain and learned how to do, I mean, obviously it wouldn't just be like the first time, but it would be over the course of like being trained by one. But it would be I would love that, just to sit in there with like a GM and figure out, oh man, you know what? I could free up $5 million if I just do this, this, and that. But like, damn, let's do it, cuz.
You know? Write me in.
For real. It really is. Cuz at the end of the day, it isn't like baseball and some of the other sports where you can go into that luxury tax and you just pay a penalty or whatever it is.
Yeah. NFL. Locked in.
NFL, you got the cap.
It is what it is, yeah. And it's incredible how much has gone up. Like, we had a little conversation about this with the Mike Evans thing. 2014, where we were in 2014, just 10 years ago, Aaron Rodgers, highest paid quarterback, $22 million. Cap was at like $134 million. Come to now, in 2024, highest quarterback, Deshaun Watson, $47 million. Now you got Kirk Cousins just signed that huge freaking deal.
And before we get into all this stuff that we got going on with the Bucks, since we are talking about the league right now, so I heard this when I was listening to 620.
Mm-hmm.
apparently with the NFLPA, you know how like during the offseason they kind of try to implement new rules and different things like that? So they're working on a situation to make kickoffs actually better, something similar to how the XFL was doing it.
Yep.
And then they're trying to work on a
situation. Is that better, though? Well, like better as far as injuries, not better as far as entertainment and
return. Well, no, the entertainment's pretty good, too.
Better as far as entertainment because they're actually – because in the XFL, it was – the way it's designed – so the reason why they kind of switched to what they're doing right now and everything goes – a lot of stuff goes out of the back in the end zone, this where it was more fieldable. But what happens is the kicker runs and kicks the ball. The guys are closer to each other, but nope, none of the blockers or none of the defense can move until the person catches it. But they're just closer to where like that is.
So they ain't out there running, hitting at full speed.
They're not running down. You don't have some 250-pound dude running 20 miles an hour and just wham. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, we got that gravity, inertia.
It's a little bit safer, but with also including the returns into the game because they were saying that it was a record low last year. I think it was something like 1.2 like returns in a game. And that
they officially took them out. They took them out of the game.
And I guess a lot of fans have been complaining, and obviously with Devin Hester going in, that's probably something they're looking at because if they don't change something, we're never going to have
a kickoff
again. That electricity ever again. But another thing the NFLPA is trying to introduce is, you know how like they got like the rookie contracts and all that stuff, like when you get drafted?
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently they're trying to change the length of the contracts for running backs, where if you're a first-round running back, instead of doing the 5 years optional, you're only going to get 3.
I think it's a great idea.
So that way these guys aren't just getting used up on rookie contracts and never getting paid.
Yeah, the average life of a running back is like, 4 years?
They get hosed.
That, so.
They're under 10 years for sure.
Yeah.
Probably the least out of any position, I would say, the running back as far as average life.
Which is so crazy because they used to be so valuable. Thurman Thomas,
Emmitt Smith,
Barry Sanders,
Frank Gore.
I mean,
with the rule changes,
Clinton Portis.
With the rule changes that we've seen for the defense, Edwin not being James. Able to affect the wide receivers and hit the quarterback in certain ways, that in turn is going to affect that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the running back's not as valuable as it used to be. See, that wide receiver, catch. Though, that wide receiver market's going up.
Unless you can catch.
Yeah.
If you're a dual threat.
Yeah. But even
which
so,
our boy is.
Even so, what, $16 million for McCaffrey's the max? Where you got
is he
max
the highest
wide
paid?
Receiver? Yeah, I believe so. I think it's $16 million. And I was just looking at this earlier before the show. And Tyreek Hill's, what, 30? Something like that? So
yeah, it's almost double, but still. It would be a way for them to get paid a little bit better. Like, the fact that there's running backs out there making the same amount of money as, like, your field goal kicker.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
No, there's legit kickers that are getting paid. I think the franchise tag for the kicker, they were talking about that. The franchise tag for a kicker is actually higher than what the franchise tag is for running backs right now.
Damn.
No, I don't believe that.
I'm telling you, it was something crazy. There was
Say
a crazy
sorry.
Stat like
no,
that last
I don't,
year.
I don't believe that.
Your mind just blew up. I seen it.
No, because the running back's got to be like around $13 million, and there's no way the kicker's that high. There's just absolutely no way. It might be close. It might, you know, maybe the highest paid kicker might be roughly around like
what
a
if Justin
mid-tier.
Tucker getting like $16 million a year?
I'm getting 22.
Well, I know Chase didn't get that, and he's a pretty good kicker. So
what did Chase get?
Right off the top, here we go.
Like
signed on a 3-year, $12.3 million deal. So roughly around 4 a year.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad. He was the most accurate, the best kicker in Bucks history last year. The best kicker statistically in a Bucks uniform ever for the kicking position.
According to Sporting News,
over Grammatica as well.
The franchise tag price for place kickers right now in the 2024 season is right around $6 million.
Yeah, okay. That makes about sense. I mean, the highest paid kickers, I think, is around $7 million.
But there's still a lot
more
money.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot more money than some of the running backs make, though.
I think that's the point you were trying to make. Not necessarily, it doesn't necessarily compete with the highest paid running backs out there, the elite running backs, but as far as the
middle is that now, though? Because Derrick Henry's a free agent.
$16 million, I just told you. Was
for running backs, 11.3
is the, yeah.
So barely.
So it's about double.
It's about $5 million.
So they're probably like the And maybe that's what the statistic was.
Running backs
was.
Are serious.
Maybe place kickers was the only thing. Like, maybe kickers was the only thing that had the lower.
Well, think about it. I mean, kickers' value has been rising through the years. I mean, think about the value that a kicker brings to a football team, just like Chase McLaughlin. How many game-winning kicks did he have?
If you're Dan Campbell, apparently they don't really matter.
Well, I mean,
kickers are people too.
Christian McCaffrey 16, Alvin Kamara 15, Jonathan Taylor 14, Nick Chubb 12. Josh Jacobs was just changed because he's no longer a
Raider. I think Le'Veon kind of ruined it for people as well. You think about what Le'Veon did. He sat out for that year and bet on himself and said, I don't need the money. Yep. I'm going to still sign this massive contract. And he wasn't able to get quite what he wanted, and I think that scared away a lot of running backs from doing the same, like a Jonathan Taylor, from fully committing to that holdout.
But historically, as of lately, too, after they hit that dirty 30 mark,
Shit, it's even before that now. It's like 28 now.
Yeah, 28.
I mean, we look at running back sometimes as over the hill around that time. Look at Aaron Jones getting released by the Green Bay. I mean, I think he's around
28.
He's
still wrong. There were some Packer fans that were pissed about that.
I would be too, but then he's a great player still. You just got Josh Jacobs, who a couple years ago led the league in rushing. You know what he can do.
He's a little beat up, too.
He was in an offense with Josh McDaniels for the last 2 years. You know, we all know about that. So he's in a better place now, better system.
With Jordan Love, who's
a I think that's yes,
with
good
some really,
yeah.
Whew.
He's good.
I'm glad I'm not in the NFC North.
Packers able to do it again 3 times in a row. They're like Pittsburgh Steelers with coaches.
Yeah,
they
like,
are.
They just get a quarterback and stick with them, just like the Steelers stick with a coach for like 20 years.
It's that cheese water up there, man. It makes them better.
Something. Maybe Lombardi smiling down.
It is. What's the it's the Lombardi. Little razzle
good
dazzle.
Curse. It's like a curse, but it's a good curse.
It's a good curse, yeah. The spirit of Lombardi.
Is there a name for a good curse?
No, when the quarterbacks, when they go there, there's a ghost of Lombardi, and he's like the quarterback whisperer. He whispers in their ears at night when they're doing training camp. That's okay. Why they always come out raw.
That makes sense.
Does it?
It makes sense.
I like how he looked at me like, I really believe this shit.
Packers fans, is this true? Is there a Lombardi ghost out there that's like a quarterback whisperer that just...
I know one thing. I don't know if there's a Lombardi ghost, but I know there's a good-ass GM in Raymond James Stadium.
Bro. How about Mike Greenberg, too? The money guy up there. The guy that actually works the money. Mike Greenberg. He's an unsung hero for us, so...
He works the money, but Jason Light sells it to the players.
No, I agree. Jason Light's great.
They're both.
I'm all over Jason Light.
Hey, whoop, there it is. They can tag team it all they want, but we got Mike Evans locked in 2 years for a deal that I found out later was much more. See, that's why sometimes you can't react to what you see first.
From what Mike Florio says, the reason why you always see these deals reported wrong at first is because the agents are floating numbers, and they're floating out the fullest potential of the deal and not the true crux of the deal. And so you have to kind of wait a day or so for the numbers to actually get out, people to report on them to see that the Mike Evans deal quite isn't as high as you might have originally thought. Or
well, the cap hit's only $20 million, not the 26 that it was reported.
Yeah.
Which made it a lot more friendly for us to sign players like Levante David, who's going to be – ready for us. He's just waiting, his pens in hand. All he needs is a little X on the paper. X marks the spot. Sign his name. He'll be good to go. But we got Mike Evans locked in. Huge for us. I think they need to rework Chris Godwin's contract because since he got paid, I don't know.
Well, he's only got 1 year left. It's like $27 million on the books next year for Chris Godwin. That's what we owe him.
I think, though, one thing on last year, though, he was a little pushed back on that offense. He wasn't really included as much towards the second part.
I agree. I think his job is more on the inside in the slot.
But he was third down man. He was third down man. Big time.
I'm sure your boy Cohen.
But it's about his contract, the $27 million he's got. It would be beneficial for the Bucs if they do want to move forward with Godwin to go ahead and extend him and then maybe rework some of that money, even free up even more money. And that would free up money in the future and now for Wirfs, because he's going to reset the market. Wirfs is going to get
– he's the best.
I mean, I'm $25 million more a year.
Oh, he's going to reset the market for sure.
Like, it's going to be the highest tackle ever. Deion Dawkins just got 3 years, $60 million.
As he should.
Deion Dawkins, though. That's not Tristan Wirfs.
No, I'm saying Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah, he definitely deserves it. Do you still believe, though, that Mike deserves the money he got?
Oh, yeah.
I know you were worried. I was never worried because I knew.
But listen, it was because how it was reported. I was comfortable with 18 to 22 for a cap hit. But when they said 26, I'm like, damn, that's an extra $6 million a year that we can get, you know, some line depth or a safety or somebody to come in that, you know, that, like it. You know, I was telling people, like, it's not that I don't think he's not worth the money. It's just the fact that if we only needed Mike Evans to win the Super Bowl next year, then that's one thing. But we need a lot more. You know, there are some things that I think are going to work in our favor. Like, it's pretty much Devin White's going to be out the door. So that's going to be a little addition by subtraction for us. My robot table going off on me.
I just felt like it was a little you had no faith. Like, you should have a little faith in
he
looked, what
he was looking at the
is.
Numbers, though. But he was looking at the numbers.
Even if they signed him for that deal. It's Mike Evans. It's Mike Evans. 10 years straight. No one has done it.
Too much.
Never, man.
It's not.
That just solidified my dog
when the
NFL.
When the salary cap just went up $30 million. Like, it's going up every year. So that number he signs now, even if it was 26,
but we need a center
wouldn't
or a
be
guard.
The same 26 in the next coming years.
But we need a starting center or a guard.
Don't you have faith that we're going to free up the money? Carlton Davis, out of town. See you later. Sayonara.
Now we even need defensive back help even more.
Ooh, does an old Buccaneer come back?
Zion McCollum.
Do we get an old Buccaneer
to come
back?
He started all year last year. Everybody picked on him, and he held his ground pretty damn well.
He didn't give up.
Hello,
he didn't give up a real touchdown.
Depth, though.
We do. It's called the draft. It's called free agency. Yeah. We ain't gone through it yet. Who do we need? We need a little depth.
Jordan Whitehead is reportedly wanting to come back.
I would take him in
a
heartbeat.
Put a little montage on Twitter of some of his top plays, and only one was from the Jets, and the rest were from
the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And
in college too.
I believe KJ Britt or somebody tweeted out earlier about him coming back to the team.
I think we can get him on a cheap 1-year deal. $4 or $5 million.
Make him prove it. Well, he kind of left.
He got a check.
He got a check, man.
He left on somewhat bad terms with the front office because I think they were kind of bumping heads on that, and that's why he left to go to the Jets.
And from all the reports I've heard is that the Bucs were wanting to re-sign Whitehead. It just wasn't for the price that he was going to be getting from the Jets.
So he was kind of a little butthurt about it, and he found out the grass wasn't greener.
Well,
on the other
side. He can't really be butthurt. He's the one chasing the money.
He went for the money, man.
I'm sure the deal was a good deal. He just wanted probably a couple more million from the Jets.
And he found out the grass wasn't greener on the other side.
Yeah. What about Mike Edwards? How's he looking?
I'd rather have Jordan Whitehead, to be honest.
I'd rather have Jordan Whitehead back, but I mean,
I really like Mike Edwards.
Mike Edwards. Anybody who's like solid back there with Winfield is going to help us out.
Yeah,
but we do need to get some cornerback help. I think Adoree Jackson might be available.
I don't know. He might cost a little too much.
Who you think we could get a cornerback first round?
No, I don't think that's going to be where we're going to
drop there.
Going.
I honestly think, and I've been having conversations with this with my boy Brian, who I work with, and I think it's going to be the trenches, or if one of those – I think if Keon Coleman drops to us, we might snag him. I can see he's going after a receiver.
I don't know. After that 40 he ran at the combine, he ran like a 4.61.
He's a big dude, though.
He is.
That's not his thing.
I just don't think the Bucs are going to reach – I love it. I mean, look, I'm a FSU
fan, for first off, they're going in the trenches, whether it be – best O-line available or best D-line available. A lot of people have. But you know who I did see mock to us, and I just saw it earlier, and I just remembered this. Remember how I shared your boy, the cornerback from Alabama, Kool-Aid?
Oh, yeah.
I seen a mock draft where we took Kool-Aid. That would be some cornerback help, but he may be available in that range.
I mean, it's possible now. I mean, we just traded away our number one cornerback, so – you know, whereas yesterday we weren't really in the market for a number one cornerback. Now it's quite possible we go after Adoree Jackson. We go after Kool-Aid.
Hey, man, Jason Light knows something we don't.
I honestly think it's going to be pass rush.
Chop Robinson, somebody I've seen.
I think with the depth at quarterback and wide receiver in this draft, it's going to drop a lot of these skilled pass rush and offensive linemen's deep. And I agree with you. I think it's going to be in the trenches, but in our trenches is 3-4, and that also means outside linebacker. So I think outside linebacker at edge rush is going to be where we're going to go.
Well, only time will tell, and we'll know a little bit more towards the draft, because some of the things that, you know, the other teams in front of us have brought in. And
they, yeah, free agency is also going to play out, too.
It's going to play out. So it's still a couple.
It's a domino game.
It's a good month or so before we really start to get a grasp on what we're going for. But, I mean, there are some holes in the defense.
Oh, you know they're already looking, though. Like,
yeah, there's holes in the defense that need a fixing.
I think the Bucks already know who they want.
Is there any corners out there?
And Jason Light's proven that he can get a guy, you know, second, third round, small school offensive lineman to come in and do pretty damn good.
Jason Light started out his career as a drafter for the GM of the Buccaneers really well with Mike Evans, but then had a couple years where it's just a lot of hit and miss. But lately, I would say in the last, like, 6 years, I feel like he's one of the best drafters in the league.
I think it has to do with his scouts too. Maybe he got, you know, you don't really see those kind of things get publicized. Maybe he got a little bit better scouting department and stuff as
well. I think he just matured as a GM. Like, I feel like players could mature, coaches mature, but why can't GMs mature?
Could.
You know, he was early on in his tenure as a GM, first time. And I know he worked for the Rams or something like that. I forget where he came from before us, but I don't think he was a GM.
I think he might have been like an assistant or something.
But he's like a fine wine, you know.
Is he a fine wine, man?
Hey, he's doing good.
I love me some Jason Light, man. I'm glad they didn't get rid of him.
You like him more than Kirk Cousins?
Oh,
nice transition. I love me some Kirk Cousins. It's Man Crush what, Monday?
Is it Man Crush Monday?
Technically.
Yeah. I mean, that's
I asked you out to lunch on the same day, who would you go with?
Who?
Yeah.
Who's the other person?
Kirk Cousins and Jason Light.
Oh, I'm going with Jason Light.
You're going with Jason Light?
Yeah. But I feel like Kirk Cousins is like literally like one of the most underrated quarterbacks of our generation.
Is he really?
But how do you feel about him now that he signed with the Atlanta Falcons?
Good for him.
But
he's your rival, bro.
I don't root for him. But
Do you really? Show him your Kirk Cousins tattoo.
Bro, I feel like at least like 4 times in the last decade, you've at least had Kirk Cousins on your fantasy
football
team. I root
for him in a way that it kind of proves my point with him.
I'm pretty sure because you rub one out every now and then to Kirk Cousins.
Allegedly. This is a child-friendly program here. We don't need to be talking like that. But anyway, let's keep our minds out of the gutter. Kirk Cousins is a very good quarterback. He's underrated. I feel like he's almost like the Philip Rivers.
Does it scare you, him going to Atlanta?
Yes. As a Bucs fan, absolutely. Absolutely. That's all they've been missing the last couple of years. The
quarterback.
They got some receivers over there.
I mean, they'll go through Ritter, Mariota. Two
garbage.
Like, garbage quarterbacks.
Garbage.
So, yeah, I mean, Kirk Cousins is going to go there. He's got Drake London.
Got Raheem Morris to tell him what to do.
Bijan Robinson.
Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts is raw.
Like, they've got some. And who knows what they do in free agency.
Yeah, it's going to be a scary team.
It is. It's going to be very scary.
Who are some potential people that we can be bringing into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, though?
Honestly, I just think we need to get veteran, low minimum contract, prove it deals. We seem to have a lot of success doing that.
So what about?
We got a lot of young players at the positions of need, right?
What about A.J. Dillon?
I'm not a fan. I've never been a fan of A.J.
Dillon. I think he's past.
How can
prime.
You be 250 and just not be a bowling ball and average 6 yards a carry?
What about Eckler?
I'm a fan.
So if we brought in Eckler on a team-friendly deal.
I would love it.
Couple mil a year.
Even though I kind of feel like Rock and Eckler are kind of in the same role because Eckler is a great receiving back out of the backfield.
So here's the thing that I was saying about
that. So we do need that.
Here's the thing that I was saying about that. I was talking to my boy Brian. Think about, let's just say, and I'm not saying bringing Derrick Henry, but you got Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry's in the backfield, you know what time it is.
I would love for them to have.
But
if
you got Eckler or you got Rock White and they're kind of similar backs, then no matter what your offense is, no matter any, like, they can't just be like, okay, well, we gotta really focus on
the
Rock White because
guy, yeah.
because he, you know, he's gonna catch and you know Derrick Henry's gonna run the ball.
Yeah.
If you got them interchangeable, Now you just always got a fresh set of legs out there, and they could pretty much do the same thing.
I think it's a great idea. Unfortunately, I just don't think that's the mindset of the Bucks. I think they want that cheap guy, that veteran minimum, like the Edmonds the we got last Edmonds. Year. Maybe bring him back. He seemed to show out pretty good.
Is Eckler going to command that much money, though? I mean, he's kind of been banged up.
A year ago, he wanted top money in the league. He wanted that long-term deal, that security from L.A., and he didn't get it.
Because he's also been banged up quite a bit.
I say game four. I take it for
last
four,
year
man.
He was a little, or the year before, but or one of these years.
So what's your ceiling on how much you would pay for a year?
Would you take
for
Aaron running Jones back?
For this? Yeah, running back or just for Eckler in general?
For Eckler, I would shell out $6 million.
Okay, and that's probably your ceiling for running backs across the board.
For Aaron Jones, I might shell out a little more shillings for Aaron Jones.
Okay.
Imagine Aaron Jones on this team.
I don't want Henry, though.
I wouldn't mind Aaron. I think Henry's going to go to Baltimore.
You think so?
I think Derrick Henry's going to end up in Baltimore.
There was talks of Jacobs going there, and that didn't happen. And they do need a running back, and that's a good assumption, I think.
He just fits like
the system so
old
well.
School, that Baltimore Raven, nitty-gritty kind of style, this just what that city is. You put that wrecking ball in there.
Well, with the threat of Lamar Jackson as well, that's going to take a little pressure off of him as a running back.
Could he go to Pittsburgh?
Do you know the play action you can run off of that?
Yeah.
Where you just the freaking by the defense is going to be so focused in on freaking Derrick
Lamar
Henry.
Lamar pulls
that ball and goes.
Imagine playing that offense where you got both them boys back there.
That'd be nasty. That would be nasty.
Dollars of donuts, I think it's going to happen.
Yeah?
I think you're right on with that one.
I could see Aaron Jones coming to Tampa. When I seen him get released, I'm like, damn, watch him end up in Tampa.
Honestly, I could see Aaron Jones in Baltimore as well.
He could be another he one, too.
I mean, they need a running back. J.K. Dobbins no longer there, I don't believe.
Your boy Gus Edwards is a free agent.
Yeah, he's kind of one of those underrated running backs.
Gus Edwards
from Baltimore.
Oh, J.K. Dobbins is as well.
Like J.K., but
he's another guy had some injury.
He was getting the rehab though with Aaron Rodgers, at the same place Aaron's doing. So okay. Same
so
injury.
When they get released, that contract no longer void. So these guys like Aaron Jones, whatever he gets now.
Yeah.
Well, when he got released, whatever money was guaranteed got paid.
He gets
to him.
Paid.
And then everything.
He's
else
a
is.
Free agent, so whatever he signs
that's
for.
What he gets.
But it's much like okay, so Russell Wilson.
So like Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson was able to sign for so cheap. For I think the Steelers are in actual like cap hell right now, so they had to sign him cheap. But the reason why he could sign for the league minimum on like a prove it deal is because he's already on the books. Like I think
almost forty million. So right now they're on the books for 38, and the Pittsburgh's taking the rest, which is $1.2 million. The Bucks could have had that too. It was kind of tempting. I don't know what you guys' thoughts were, but I'm looking at that like, hey, Russell Wilson's a good quarterback. He might have been on a shit team. You look at his stats though from last year. I guarantee you, if you look at his stats, you're gonna be like, okay, kind of looking like Baker. Looking a lot like Baker. Have you seen the stats, Eddie?
I've seen him lose a bunch of games.
I think he threw 28 touchdowns. He had a bad team around him. He had bad coaching.
Listen, Linda.
I'm just saying, it looked tempting. I wanted Baker back.
I'm just saying.
It just looked tempting. $1.2 million, how much money you
think
we got
there? Past few years, Russ ain't really been looking all that great.
You can't be like, don't sign Mike Evans, but
listen.
$1.2 million quarterback, you could have had $20 million to go spend on your free agents you want so badly.
I think Future put some voodoo on him, bro.
That's possible.
I think Future put some voodoo on Russ and he ain't been playing the right way. Either that or Sierra done took the mouth away or something.
That could have been it.
Cause he ain't been playing like he used to.
He had 28 touchdowns and I think he was like 8 interceptions
last
year.
How many times he got lit up?
He's one of the best in the league at interception to touchdown ratio last year. He was on a shitty team.
True.
A young, shitty team. A bad organization that's made bad plays for the last 10 years since Peyton Manning left.
If Peyton Manning put a curse on him.
That wasn't Peyton Manning. It was John Elway messed it all up, but that's a different
John
story.
Elway did John mess did. That up, boy.
John Elway
I'm
messed
just
that
saying.
He don't take too many hits.
I think him going to Pittsburgh, that's great for him. And
it's great
for
NFL.
Great for the Steelers. It's shitty for Kenny Pickett, though.
So one thing that we do need.
Don't nobody care about
Pickett. We're talking about a little pass rush. What do you think about Bobby Wagner?
Well, that's not pass rush. That'd be Levante's position. So that'd be KJ Britt.
I thought he played
Russell
on the edge too, though.
The Dennis. No, he's middle linebacker. Middle? Okay, that's literally the reason why Levante makes second team All Pros and doesn't make Pro Bowl sometimes
because of Bobby Wagner.
Okay,
that's why he's so undervalued, underrated throughout his whole career.
That's all right. Because he keeps showing up. He keeps showing
up. So no, I don't want Bobby. Well, we do need to possibly fill that position as well. Now that 4 or 5 get live 4 or 5 out the door.
I mean, imagine Wagner and Levante.
That would be pretty dope. But I feel like Wagner's still that guy that commands $10 million. Because
I think Yaya's going to be all right.
That's outside. We're losing
Golston too.
So we lost Shaq on the other side. We got Yaya on this side.
But what about Servasio? Was he middle or outside?
He's middle.
Okay.
So our middle, we got a lot of young guys. We got J.J. Russell, Servasio, Dennis,
and Ramirez, something like that.
I believe he was defensive line. I think he was defensive end. Yeah.
You're talking about the 6th-round pick.
Yeah. Maybe he was outside linebacker, but we didn't see much of him. Watts.
I think he was banged up, but they did say some good things about him, though.
Yeah, he came on.
Jose Ramirez. I think he was banged up.
Yeah, Watts was one of those guys, too, that got into a lot in the preseason and then a few times in the game and showed a lot of flashes, too. So he might be somebody who might be able to step in an outside linebacker. But that's another position in need. So now that we shifted this money around with Carlton Davis and we're able to rework these deals and we see where we're sitting at, I'd say retrospectively looking back, all those deals look pretty damn good. And we're sitting pretty good as Bucks fans right now.
Do you think that I know with the Carlton Davis deal, it was more about the money, freeing up the money. Do you think that's good, though?
And he was hurt a lot.
With the 2 6-round picks,
though? I knew it was going to be low value. The Bucks had to get rid of him. The value was for the Bucks, not the draft picks in return, not the draft capital, but relieving themselves of that cap so they can then
I feel like if you got a couple 6-round picks, though, you can move around.
What do you mean? Like trade the picks?
Yeah, like trade the picks, maybe move up or
I just feel like the Bucks take those picks. I mean, we're not really
known
for...
Yeah, but I feel like Jason... No, he's done that in like later rounds where he's like moved...
I feel like Doug...
Maybe he'll move up like 10 picks or something like that. Like, you know, maybe we got 2 6-round picks. He might jump up to the beginning and grab somebody he likes or something like that. I feel like I kind of remember
he's done that before. Doing that a little bit in the later rounds, so it's definitely possible.
Yeah, nothing like crazy, but...
Here's the last 5 6-round picks for the Bucks. They had 2 in 2023, Jose Ramirez and Trey Palmer. Josh Hayes, Co-Keefe, and Khalil Davis.
Co-Keefe is still on the team. He's a possible cap casualty as
Trey Palmer?
Okay, some decent 6-round picks.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Jason Lake's got
your 6 and 7 round picks, you're looking for them just to make the roster or like
special
the
teams,
practice squad or something like that.
You're
going to
use that pick on a player that you feel like might –
You're not
you
expecting
want in the
them,
building,
yeah.
but you're not maybe going to be able to sign him
a little bit of
draft.
Like if you get that sleeper guy who becomes a starter for you and he's
like
a 6-round pick, like great. If not, I mean, I think you're okay with it. But I mean, Trey Palmer looking like a guy who can be
three or four.
Yeah, he could be a 3 or 4.
A 3 on a good day, I think. Yeah,
you think so? Third receiver.
Yeah.
What do you think
he can be?
Oh, I think he can be number 2.
Nah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. Who am I to judge? But a 6-round pick, he didn't show a ton of promise last year.
Oh, yeah, he did. I like Trey Palmer, man. You're going to hear his name as a Buck
he's
for a while.
Good. I think they spread it around a lot, too. Yeah. I don't know.
We've got a couple young wide receivers. I think he fits the mold of those guys, and he's pretty decent.
One thing for certain, two things for sure, is there's a new offensive coordinator in town. And I know the rumors have been out there. It's similar to Canales, a lot of that. But until we see it and we see what's going on, he might have some tricks up his sleeve. He might have some different philosophies. So you never know who's going to play out. And
one of his philosophies is get the guys that is the stars.
Get the playmakers.
The
we'll
see how it works out.
You know, we still got training camp and everything else coming up. So we'll see who separates their stuff. There's going to be some battles out there for that 3rd, 4th spot. I'm definitely up for it. Do you think we need to improve on the tight end situation? Are you sold on Kate Otten?
I like me some Kate Otten. I think maybe we need
we need more depth.
We need to maybe go out in free agency and pick up like a veteran minimum contract, somebody out there. I'm not really familiar with who's available right now at the tight end position, but I'm not really feeling like we're going to use that draft capital on a tight end this year. I mean, besides your boy from Georgia, I forget his name right now, it's drawing a blank, but Bowers or...
I think he's rated to go in the before we even pick.
Exactly. Like, we're not going to get him, so
It depends really on what we were just talking about, Liam. Whatever his offense is, if he's not going to have like a high tight end, you know, like needing a lot of tight ends, we'll be okay with what we have already. Maybe a free agent or just some scrub off the street.
Well, I think we learned last year that Cade's very serviceable.
Yes.
But he's maybe not a number one tight end. He's more like a number one A to B. Like, he's a second guy, you know what I mean? Like, we need somebody else in there, but I just don't like – I don't like the thought of using draft capital early on rounds to get a tight end.
He kind
of
gives me, like, poor man Cam vibes.
Cam Brate?
Yep.
Cam Brate was raw. But I think Cade Otton can do it, too.
I do too. I have faith in Cade.
He has good hands.
That's why I said like a poor man.
Yeah.
Cameron Brate.
Yeah, Cameron Brate.
And then we just literally say Cole Keefe. Let's see what he does.
Cole Keefe is not that guy.
He doesn't impress me that much.
He is a blocker, and we saw in the first game of the season against Minnesota last year, he dropped two crucial catches in that first drive. Back to back, he dropped a touchdown and he dropped the first round catch.
Hands, so for sure.
He does. He's not a passing tight end. He's more like that H back. Can definitely catch out of the backfield, can run a route, but he's more of that blocker, that extra blocker tight end that you get on the end. Cade's definitely more capable of running routes and catching the ball.
Maybe we could be surprised, and they do take that first round on the tight end.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Well, unless they get up to Brock Bowers, it ain't happening, because the other tight end is from Texas, and he's like projected for like late second round. So that might be a possibility, but I don't even like that kid because he's like 6'4", 240 or 250. He's like really undersized and not very big. I don't know. I don't think that's a big need for me. Like, if we don't go tight end in the draft, like, I'll be happy. Like, I want to see trenches like we talked about. I want to see wide receiver.
We got split up last year also in secondary on a lot of games. Even when Carlton Davis came in,
that's something he was getting killed, though. That might be something we address in the free agency market. We'll see
who's out there.
We'll have to see.
We'll have to look that one up. But I definitely think that's definitely somewhere we take that money we just saved with Carlton Davis and put that into a vet, the prove it deals. You know, there's lots of those guys out there, vet minimum guys, guys that can bring a little bit of veteran leadership to the locker room. Help Izzy and help Zion McCollum grow as cornerbacks. I think that's the route the Bucks need to go. I'm not a big fan of the cornerback position. I want trenches, just like Heisey said. I want either outside linebacker pass rush in this draft early on, or I want to go offensive line.
What if there's another like Vita Vea out there? Would you take him and put him on team?
Yeah, but where is he going to play? Like, we already have
Kalijah Kansi,
and Vita Vea. You can never have enough depth. I get you on that. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be disappointed. I just don't think that's where the Bucks are going to go early on, that early with, you know, that high draft capital. I think they got to capitalize on some of this talent that's going to be sliding in this draft due to the run on wide receiver and some of the skill positions like quarterback. I think this is a draft like we can get maybe a running back as well. Maybe your boy Blake Corum, maybe later on in the draft. It seems like a lot of these running backs are sliding in the draft. Would you guys be upset with a wide receiver going to the Bucks in the first round? That's the question, because there's going to be a high run on those. Oh, there's an over-under of like
no
6 or 7.
No Austin Eckler for you. Signed a 2-year deal with the Commanders.
Here's one.
I kind of like that.
Here's somebody who's out there. I don't know how much it would cost for the Bucks to bring him. Edge defender Chase Young is available.
I don't like Chase Young.
Don't want him. No, I don't too like much Chase money. Young, he's going to command too much money. He wasn't very productive with the 49ers. He just
takes
flashed,
plays off,
and he does the same thing with the Commanders. And he was injury prone his whole career.
What about an older veteran like Jadeveon Clowney or Calais Campbell?
I like Jadeveon.
I like both those guys.
He's one of those guys that'll take a 1-year deal. You know, not max out the piggy bank, basically.
Kyle Van Noy is another one who's available.
Not bad.
That's an outside linebacker position. He definitely did well with the Ravens last year, for sure.
Bud Dupree's available.
Not a big fan. Didn't do well with the Falcons.
Dante Fowler Jr. is out there.
Not a fan.
I don't know.
Okay.
One of those first-round busts from a couple of years ago.
But he's somebody that we can bring in for depth. I mean, he probably wouldn't cost a lot. It would be a body.
Yeah, just not a fan of the actual player.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but some of those names for sure. Veteran guys like Kyle Van Noy, I kind of like that signing there. I think you can get him on a cheap deal. Guy had, led the team for the Ravens in sacks last year at, I think, like the age of 33, 34.
So cornerbacks, Kendall Fuller's available. Stephon Gilmore, who's like 5,000 years old.
He's probably still got a couple games left in him.
He might, yeah.
Kenny Moore's available. Adoree Jackson's available.
I definitely like Kenny Moore.
Sean Murphy Bunting actually signed with Arizona.
Oh, good for him. I liked him.
Yeah. Ronald Darby's available.
Yeah. He was a Florida State Seminole.
Rocky Asin's available.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, he's somebody we can kick the tires on.
Yeah.
I would want Kenny Moore or Adoree.
Yeah, I think they're both going to be commanding too much money. I think the Colts will probably re-sign Kenny Moore.
Steven Nelson is available. So not a lot really out there for that.
Steven Nelson, that's actually not too bad of a guy for this Bucs defense. A vet that probably isn't going to command a ton of money, but is a very good cornerback. Could definitely see Steven Nelson.
He's
getting up there in age, though.
Those are three guys. You know,
anyway. I could see Gilmore, too, to be honest with you.
We'll see. Maybe they'll kick the tires on something. Jordan Fuller's available for safety. Jordan Whitehead. C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
So Detroit's no longer going with C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Mecah Hyde.
There you go. Take him.
Man, I would love to get C.J. with Antoine in the back there, but you already know that he's going to want a ton of money.
Terrell Edmonds is available. Your boy Ryan Neal.
Would you take that first round pick on Kool-Aid?
If he's there, yeah.
I don't think
he's going to be there, though.
You don't think he's going to be there?
No, I think he's going to be a top 15 pick.
Top 15?
He could be.
If he slides down.
It's all going to depend. It's going to depend how many people pull the trigger on quarterbacks. Because
the position that gets
right now is looking like the top three picks are going to be quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Then probably, you know, maybe was it Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Oh, he's going to. I honestly thought the Patriots would take him.
You could.
At number two.
They just traded away Mac Jones.
Could they get
him? They don't have a quarterback.
Could they get Justin Fields and some trade, get Justin Fields and with that second pick,
got three, right? Not two.
They got number three.
Yeah. Commanders got two.
If they could pull off a trade to get Justin Fields, I think that would be fantastic for them.
So you just said Mac Jones is gone.
Mac Jones got traded.
Go ahead and just X out Marvin Harrison Jr. because I'm going to take the word of Gerard Mayo when he said we're going with position of need, the greatest position of need, and everybody assumed that's quarterback, that he wasn't lying. You just traded away the guy who was actually competent enough to play starting quarterback in this league.
They traded him for a
You're
going to
be
pick,
going
actually.
After Drake May, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be Drake May.
He got traded to the Jaguars. Matter of fact, Mac Jones.
Interesting.
Yep, he'll be backing up old Trevor Lawrence.
Hmm. Old Trevor Lawrence.
Go there or die.
Pretty much.
Man.
So, yeah, they're probably end up with Drake May, which means your boy Marvin's probably going to end up in Arizona at number four.
Well, I mean, I have a sneaky feeling that this is going to be like the Stroud situation where – like
you think there's going to be some movement?
I honestly, or like the Anthony Richardson, I think Jaden Daniels is going to slide maybe a little bit, and I think Drake May is going to move up to the Commanders.
Really?
I think Caleb Williams is going to go to the Commanders. I don't think he's going to go first.
I think he is. I think he is. Yeah, I think he is. I think he's a lock. I mean, everybody's saying he is a lock to go number one. I mean, generational type talent. Me personally, I kind of had this feeling deep down that he's going to be a bust.
He's going to be a bust.
I do too. I wouldn't take him. And we got Tim chiming in on the Facebook Live. We know that Davis has gone the Lions. We talked about that earlier in the show. You might not have been on when we talked about it, but yes, he got traded for 2 6th-round draft picks, one this year, one next year. We do have Johnny chiming in on the Twitch.
Not the Twitch.
Saying he digs the show. So we
shout out to Twitch.
We're on Twitch and Facebook now. YouTube Live coming soon. Had to get verified and all that good stuff and send them my DNA and pinky toe sample.
Firstborn, all that stuff.
Had to do the hokey pokey, turn myself around. Yeah, man. Yeah, bro.
He had to do all kinds of stuff. Stool sample, sperm sample, nail sample. 17 references.
And they made me do 20 push-ups. That's fucked up.
Bare knuckle.
Bare knuckle.
Bare knuckle.
It's going to be interesting, though.
Yeah, free agency just basically, tampering period just started.
Just
so
today.
And it's been blowing up.
Next show, we're going to have a whole lot of news here as far as where everybody's landing. And we're also going to have a better idea of where the draft's going to be landing out as a Buccaneers fan and where they potentially
and
might
and
go.
And more likely, our next show will be next week. We may skip a week and do it, but it depends on how much action goes on. We get a lot of action this week, we're doing a show.
If we sign Aaron Jones, Derrick Henry.
Hey, we sign. What if we sign Aaron Jones and Adoree Jackson?
I'll be here either way. If you want to do a show next week, so
right.
It's not going to take those signings to get me in here. I don't think it's going to happen.
All right. Any final shout outs?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I just feel like yeah, we made those moves to make some room, but I feel like we have too many positions to need, and there's just too much money to
I need
go
you
around.
To go do the math right now and math it up to see what we got left.
But we
got to
bring in some kind
you
of
just told us.
We got to bring in some kind of free agent though, because
roughly $30 million.
At the end of the day, everybody, all the positions that we need, we can't just address in the draft. We have to get some veterans.
Depth.
You do. You need veteran depth.
We need depth. And then
with
that depth.
Well, we need a starter, a cornerback.
After we fill some of that depth, we're going to get a good idea. If we don't bring any big free agents, we're going to get a good idea of outside linebacker, cornerback, of where we're going in the draft, basically.
Yeah. We're about to get the blueprint.
Yeah. We're going to see it. Where our greatest needs are going to become very clear in the next week or so. And we're going to have a better perspective on where the Bucs are going to be going next week.
I like it. NFL draft, a little bit over a month away.
What's the date?
I believe it's the 27th. Let me double check the calendar.
I will not be here. I will be in North Carolina. I am shooting a wedding.
Nice. So actually, my bad. It is April 25th is when it starts, because it starts on a Thursday now.
April?
Okay. Yeah.
Was it always in April?
It's always been in April.
I guess so. I don't know.
So April 25th is when the NFL draft starts.
Okay.
It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So they couldn't do normal back in the day like they used to do it on Friday or Saturday, Sunday.
So that, man, that was the best.
Well, it's a prime time thing now. The draft has evolved. Mel Kiper turned it into what it is now.
Shout out to my dog Mel with the same haircut he's had for like 85 years. I don't even think he's lost a piece of hair yet.
That's true. It is perfect.
He's like Jimmy Johnson. He's like they might have the same barber.
They probably do.
Any final shout outs, Eddie?
Shout out to Jimmy Johnson, man.
I feel you.
I love me some Jimmy Johnson.
I wish I had his head of hair. I'm bald.
Well, you know he loved that comment being a Hurricanes fan.
Damn right.
That's that man.
Jimmy I'm surprised we didn't hear any former Hurricanes for free agent targets or like Clive Walford or something like that out of your mouth today.
We get Cameron Kitchens or James Williams in the second round if we don't get a safety. Watch. Anyways, I wanted your boy Keon.
Keon who?
Coleman.
Oh, shout out to my boy. He's going to be doing a little side thing this weekend, huh?
I mean, I got the busiest week ever starting. Not only do I have to fit my regular work into 3 days, Reggae Rise Up Thursday starts. Luckily,
is there anybody you're excited to see?
We just had, I'll answer that question in a second. Luckily, we just kind of had a band kind of fall off as a potential shooting a music video for on Thursday. A band that you know of. Burn One. No, FY. Oh. And so that kind of freed up a little time. But Thursday night, Reggae Rise Up starts 4 o'clock. Goes into Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wake up at 6 a.m. on Saturday morning to drive basically to Jacksonville to shoot a wedding to get back on Sunday where I have 3 gigs at Rise Up. It's going to be a really busy weekend for me.
He's like, hey, Alexa, play Rihanna, work. Because I got to work. Hey, get it in, bro.
Man.
Get it in. Well, let us know. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to give you the option. We're going to do the show Tuesday next week because I want to let this man get some rest on Monday.
Tuesday it is.
Yeah, that sounds
Tuesday
good,
works for me.
I'm going to go ahead and pull the
Audible.
All Audible.
Little Nostradamus.
Yes. We
saw it happening.
Yeah.
You already knew I was going to be texting. Like, hey, let's
I know
go
how it
this.
Is. Hey, we'll see you guys next Tuesday. Buck That Podcast. Zach got a busy weekend. So y'all go ahead and send my dog some Cash App, buy him some energy drinks.
That would be nice.
Don't forget to subscribe to Spotify.
Subscribe to Spotify. I haven't been posting the stuff up there lately, but I need to.
Shame.
Because it's already on. It's already out there on the internet.
You got to put it everywhere.
No, you got to put it everywhere. You got to put it on everywhere, Spotify, man.
I got you right now, tonight.
That's seasonal.
I got three of them I got to post, including this one. With that being said, I'm your boy, High C. I got to quit slacking. Peace out.